Separation drama is heating up, and now Canadian politicians are accusing Alberta of treason for talking with the Trump administration. Talk about accusing the enemy of what you're actually doing as Mark Carney continues to get caught in lie after lie. He's been lying about China. He's been lying about his dealings with Donald Trump. And there is a big thing that people are not willing to connect on one of the largest stories in Canada right now that continues to develop. And it's actually connected to the U.S. as well. Speaking of treason, there's a big U.S. story that we will get into towards the end. And at the end of the video, I have an explanation on how both Canada and America have ended up in this situation. We can see some of the political issues that have caused this, and there might be a common denominator. There's honestly a lot to talk about in today's video. So let's get into it. All right. As we know, Mark Carney is now trapped. He has created a monster because he ran his entire campaign on fear, standing up to the United States. The U.S. wants to destroy Canada, and we need to be sovereign and safe. And the only way we can be secure is if Mark Carney took on Donald Trump. Like we said, and like we've discussed in the comments and on the channel, we knew the mainstream media was going to cover for Carney and the liberals directly. Here's one of the very partisan commentators from the mainstream media accusing the conservatives of doing exactly what the liberals do. Let's get into this.
Generally speaking, in the history of campaigns, liberals have always campaigned kind of based on hope, whereas people like Pierre Poilievre, and not the Conservative Party, but people like Pierre Poilievre campaign on fear.
It's so funny for her to say that because, one, we have direct proof that the Liberals ran on fear in the last election, and then also from a Pierre standpoint, and don't get me wrong, I'm tough on Pierre on the channel, he specifically in this last election definitely ran a lot of a hope angle for the most part. So it's pretty funny that she said that, because here's Mark Carney. Here is a speech directly from one of his campaign speeches, and let's see if this sounds like fear or hope. Let's see if what Mark Carney says here is that messaging, okay?
And this week, President Trump repeated his attacks on Canada. He said that he's not just trolling, that he means what he says. As I've been warning for months, America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. And while that will never happen, our world has fundamentally changed. Our old relationship with the United States is over.
Our old relationship with the United States is over. Donald Trump wants to attack us. They want to take our country. Based on those statements here, compare it to what we just saw the liberal talking head say. Does that sound like a campaign of hope? Does that sound like a positive messaging? No, it is not. And it's been very funny to watch him change his tune. But here is another example of a liberal politician. And she says some hilarious stuff here. She literally says the Canadians in Canada are scared of ICE because what's going on in the United States. So they have brought the fear to such a level that Canadians are scared because they live close to the border. This is crazy.
Your province is one of the first to see the impacts of ICE agents at the border with Maine. How worried are you, and what are you hearing from people who cross that border every day for work, for any other reasons they might be going? And what are you hearing on the ground about ICE agents there?
Yeah, New Brunswick's relationship with Maine has really changed over the last year. You can see it in the data, actually. 670,000 fewer vehicles went from New Brunswick into Maine. That's a huge drop.
Yeah, it's a huge drop because of your political messaging and the exact messaging we're going to show from the mainstream media in a second.
And so New Brunswickers have been feeling uncomfortable for a while about the changes we're seeing in our neighbors. And then we all watched in horror the news out of Minnesota now a number of times over. So then to hear that ICE is in Maine, which is our closest neighbor, we share a massive border with Maine, it provides a lot of unrest. People feel afraid. And we know New Brunswickers are choosing not to go to the U.S. anymore.
It's crazy to me that the New Brunswickers are scared that there's ICE across the border in Maine. And I understand she's kind of saying like, oh, that's why they're hesitant to cross the border. The idea that you're scared as a regular New Brunswicker from going to Maine, this is massive manipulation. This is lies. And in my personal opinion, creating this divide with the U.S., trying to make Canadians that scared of America, that's closer to treason than anything that Alberta is doing trying to actually protect themselves. This manipulation, yeah, that's more damaging, and especially when we have all of these back-to-back videos from the national news. This video was just posted, the next American threat you might not see coming. And it's like, oh, everything's so scary coming out of the U.S. And by the way, the U.S. owns Twitter. What if they manipulate it to attack Canada's sovereignty? And then they go off about how scary it is and it's bad for Canadians because Canadians are being manipulated because from the inside, the Americans want us just scared. The Americans want us scared? Look at what we just witnessed from those examples. And this whole video is about how the Americans want us divided and scared and how they're using social media to create the divide, increase the separation talks. Hey, by the way, guys, the Quebec separation, which nobody wants to talk about because it's not politically safe to talk about. So the politicians are scared. They don't want to touch that one. Alberta, it's politically safe. You call them traitors. You say they're bad people. You say they're not allowed to leave. If they want to leave in Alberta, they can get out. If you don't like Alberta, you can get out. But you're not even from Alberta, but it's safe for you to say that. It's not safe for you to go after Quebec because that's just a political hot topic you don't want to talk about. Yeah, that referendum and the separation was way before social media. So it's funny that they try to blame that once again on the Americans. And this story as well. Canadian student in Minneapolis carries passport to avoid issues with ICE. The Canadian student that they bring on is a dentist. He's a dental student in there who's doing his residency at a dentist office, working legally as a student. They're like, aren't you scared to be in Minneapolis? Isn't it so scary for you to work as a dentist? Yeah, I think there's a little bit of manipulation going on there, guys. Speaking of manipulation, here is Mark Carney either lying or showing that he's very wrong. He once again showing at the very least he can't be trusted at face value for what he says, because after putting out those public statements, which we covered on the channel, where he specifically said, I am not getting a trade deal with China. And then we also had the Minister of Trade down with the U.S. go down there and say, I talked to my counterpart. We are not getting a trade deal with China. Here is Mark Carney directly saying today that he got a trade deal with China.
Poor continent, 6 months, that we have signed has been very much reinforced and led by the 20 trade missions that the premiers have led across three continents over the same period. One example is the new trade agreement with China that we all worked on together. Premier Mo was able to join. Part of that agreement unlocks more than $7 billion in export markets for Canadian farmers, ranchers, fish harvesters, and workers across our country.
Ruh-roh, spaghetti-o. Turns out that Mark Carney was lying once again, proving himself untrustworthy, because we all know, as much as Mark Carney likes to posture in Canada as being the anti-America guy, as being the anti-Trump guy, the guy who's going to really stand up and be tough, we know that he got a talking to, he got beaten down by the Trump administration, and he knows Canada is in a precarious situation, to say the very least, when it comes to Canada's economy, which we have some updates on. And here's him using some more friendly language about CUSMA USMCA needing to get that deal done.
We will work to renew Canada's most important economic and security relationship, that with the United States, our largest trading partner. To that end, we're preparing for this year's review of the Canada-United States-Mexico agreement, and we agreed that we will meet monthly once those discussions begin.
So he seems to really want to take it seriously now. He also really wants to stress the importance of our trade with the United States, but we just saw the other clip, and our relationship with the United States is over. They're trying to destroy us. What's going on, Mark?
We will work to renew Canada's most important economic and security relationship, that with the United States, our largest trading partner. To that end, we're preparing for this year's review of the Canada-United States-Mexico agreement.
And he knows it's important because we got these updates today. One of these is from Bloomberg, where it says Canada's trade deficit widens on falling gold and auto exports. Yes, Canada's overall exports are going down, not just with America. Overall, the exports are going down. And by the way, as Canadian dollar gets stronger, which people seem to be happy about, that makes us less desirable to trade with because it means our products will be more expensive, technically speaking. And that's one of the updates that we got today showing that things are not going so well from the trade situation. We got the update on this, the GM story. GM Canada layoffs hit Oshawa plant, putting up to 1,200 auto workers out of work on Friday. That is very sad to see. That's 1,200 families affected. That is a huge deal. And this is the economic reality of trying to have a trade war with your largest trading partner, which Mark is now willing to acknowledge. He's now willing to accept that we need to get a deal done. Where was that energy 12 months ago? Where was that energy when we needed it? The amount of economic damage he's done to Canada is more treasonous than anything else that these people are being accused of, especially because, remember, we just got a trade deal with China. Chinese car maker Chery eyes expansion into the Canadian EV market. Chinese car company Chery Automobile Co. Limited is laying down the groundwork to sell its electric vehicles in Canada after last week's announcement that Prime Minister Mark Carney had struck a deal with Beijing under which Canada will reduce tariffs on a limited number of Chinese EVs. Something tells me, and this was my theory when everybody was arguing, it's only 49,000 EVs and then it only goes to 70,000. Why would they be trying to set up shop and locations if they thought they would only have access to 49,000 sales total? Not even the whole market. They would have to be fighting for 49,000 sales when we can see they're ramping up their marketing. This got posted. I just saw this today.
Canada doesn't need more EV. It needs this kind of EV.
You're looking at a new species of EVs.
What's under here is a REV system, which is a range extended EV. So REV, yes, you can put fuel in it, but the fuel doesn't directly power the car. The fuel only power the generator that is in front of the car. And the generator generates electricity, and the car is still running on electricity.
And he continues to say in the video, this car is from Chery Auto. It basically works like a hybrid does, and it extends the range in the cold climates, and that this car could be used in Canada. This video is directly targeting selling Chinese EVs in Canada, so they're planning on making a push for that. I don't think that's going to be good for Canadian jobs, and I'm going to say this straight down the pipe. If you think the Chinese automakers are going to try and build the Chinese autos that they already have an oversupply of in China on Canadian soil, you're crazy. They're not going to do that. There is no chance. So selling out the Canadian industries to China just so we can stick it to Donald Trump, yeah, that seems a little more treasonous to me. And the only reason I'm using that word is because we had these statements today where everybody, first of all, online, the discourse is getting insane. Because if you're like, hey, I don't like what the government's doing, they've been running us into the ground for 10 years. You know, these problems actually predated Trump. I don't think we need to be mad at America. It's like, traitor. And I'm like, well, okay, relax, man. I just think that these, you know, I've been making videos for years now, and I had been making videos well before Donald Trump was president in his second term. And guess what? We were talking about these similar issues with the liberals during that time, and we've been trying to get change that entire time. But for some reason, now that Alberta wants to make serious change, now that Alberta wants to protect themselves, which is the funny part, because for years, as I've been saying on the channel, hey, the liberals are doing a bad job. People have said, well, then why don't you leave? And Alberta said, you know what? We will leave then if you want us to leave. And they're going, no, you can't. That's treasonous.
I'd like to just take and pause a moment. I read an article last night in the Financial Times about a group of people from Alberta. I won't describe them as Albertans, who went to the White House.
That's also very important to what we're going to show when it comes to discussion around treason. So the Albertans, who are sick of getting abused by Ottawa, they want more sovereignty, they want more freedom. All of a sudden, they're not Albertan. This is coming from the guy who says Canada is a nation of colonizers, committed genocide. It's basically not even a real country. But also, Canada is not a real country. Anybody can be Canadian. There's no such thing as a Canadian. And these people who are Albertans are not Albertan because they're not happy and they want to leave, create a strong Alberta. They're not Albertans. And once again, they want us to exist in an insane world. They want us to believe the opposite of what is true. And I'll show you how we got there at the end of the video. Stick around. It's actually very funny.
Seeking the assistance of the United States to break up our country. Now, I understand the desire to hold a referendum, to talk about the issues you want to talk about in Canada. We got free speech, that's important. But to go to a foreign country and to ask for assistance in breaking up Canada, there's an old-fashioned word for that, and that word is treason. It is completely inappropriate to seek to weaken Canada, to seek to go and ask for assistance to break up this country from a foreign power. And with respect, a president who has not been particularly respectful of Canada's sovereignty.
Not only is this guy trying to give away the land from the legal owners to other people because he basically doesn't believe Canada exists, he's also one of the main people blocking the pipelines, trying to fight them, saying he does not want them to come and build through his province. He's saying, I don't want any nation building projects in Canada. I don't want anything to do with those. So he continues to attack Alberta. He continues to hold Canada back and try and separate us and break Canada up. It's his direct fault. But for some reason, it's being passed off on to Donald Trump. We have to blame Donald Trump as being the one who broke Canada up. Why don't we check in on his province and see how his province is doing from a foreign interference? Oh yeah, this is the same province where a mayor is urging the federal government to take full leadership and declare a national state of emergency or invoke equivalent extraordinary measures to tackle the extortion crisis affecting communities across Canada. Surrey is facing a serious and growing crisis of organized extortion, intimidation, and residents and business owners are living in constant fear and public safety is at risk. By the way, she's also part of the problem because she won't call out the real issue. He won't call out the real issue. The only reason that we're seeing this, which is unprecedented in Canada, but those people have no claim to the word sovereignty or foreign interference. The only word they have claim to is traitor and treason because they won't call out. This is an issue of Operation Curry-Bomb and mass immigration and all of the people we've brought into Canada who are actually not Canadian, unlike the people in Alberta they're trying to say are not Albertans, which would make them not Canadian. The actual people who are not Canadian are committing these crimes and they will not connect it to immigration. And that includes Pierre, by the way. That's why I said I'm hard on Pierre too, because he has not connected this to Operation Curry-Bomb and mass immigration, and he needs to. But these people certainly don't get to call the Albertans who want a referendum treasonous when we have this right here. And I'm glad it's getting more coverage because it needs to be covered even more. It is national news now, finally. What the heck? Wild statement from a mayor of a Canadian city. We need to get a grip on this crisis. Maybe first, let's overhaul the refugee system to not give an out to the people responsible and prevent them from delaying deportation. What he's talking about is what we talked about on the channel, which is 15 of the extortion suspects are seeking refugee status, says Canada Border Agency. You don't think that's treason? You don't think that's crazy? You don't think that this is dividing Canada? You don't think that this is destroying Canada? That we are allowing all of the people who are committing the actual crimes, once they are caught, to be allowed to claim asylum? And once they do, they are now taxpayer-funded criminals living in Canada. By the way, foreign criminals living in Canada who are now on the taxpayer dime, who get paid to stay in Canada and commit crimes. That is legitimately crazy. If you want us to accept that that's normal, then Donald Trump gets to come in and bulldoze all of Canada, and you don't get to complain. But what would we do without these lovely, lovely foreign entrepreneurs? Here we have a video, and of course it's in Brampton, Ontario, and we have the driver who's throwing the package onto the porch because, you know, these guys are great at their job. We would not be able to survive in Canada without them. After his very expedited delivery of yeeting the package onto the porch, he then hits the car that's parked on the road and drives away. It's great to watch. And by the way, he's on the phone, which is funny. And then chucks the package. She comes home. He's backing up there. If you can see, you can see him hit the car. There's a big noise there, but I had to mute it because of the music. He hits the car and then she's like, hey, no, don't go. And then the car keeps driving away. So she starts to get her phone out here to try and film the license plate because she's like, yeah, he's driving away. And he drives away. Shout out to the foreign entrepreneurs. That's exactly what we love to see. Once again, if we're going to talk about Canada's sovereignty, once again, if we're going to talk about needing to fight for Canadians, maybe we need to address this issue here. This is what most shopping malls look like in Canada now. This is what most areas when you go into a public space look like in Canada now. Something tells me there's a slight change to the demographic. Something tells me that might be a bit of a threat to Canadian sovereignty. So maybe we start to call out these issues before we start to call the Albertans traitors and say that they're committing treason. Okay, especially when there is a clear and obvious connection to who is committing all of these issues and all of these crimes. They post about it publicly on social media because they don't get in trouble. There's no recourse. They are scamming the system. They are using different loopholes to get people in. In this video, we have back-to-back examples of Operation Caliban and people showing how they scammed through the border. By the way, this is very connected to America because we got some updates coming out from the U.S., which we'll go to in a second because they have been attacked by Operation Caliban as well. But here it is.
Videos posted to Instagram and TikTok, like this one in Urdu, tell people they can get a special visa for the FIFA World Cup, a package including tickets, consultancy, and embassy fees for about 2,000 Canadian dollars. This one in Hindi shows a young man promising Canada isn't going to refuse any visitor visas.
This is the thing. They're right. We weren't refusing anything before. And that's why these people could just run these full scams and say, get to Canada on the visitor visa. Just get through the door. Just all you got to do is just step over the line. And then once you're there, you can apply for all these loopholes. You can claim asylum. You could do all of these things, but you won't be banned during FIFA because they want to lower the rules.
Urging people to submit applications for family members too. Similar promises. All of them misleading, says immigration consultant Mandeep Litter.
And here's just more examples here so we can see the common denominator.
Factors.
Analysis from the CBC's visual investigations team revealed the social media accounts connected to these posts are based in multiple countries, including India, Pakistan, and Canada. At least one was deleted within minutes of us reaching out. This one.
Okay, had to shadow box a little bit there just to get the energy out. Guys, why are we taking crazy pills? Why are we accepting that this is okay? Why are we not saying to these people that you have to stop doing this? You're not allowed here. You're not allowed in Canada. You're not allowed in the United States. And this is what connected to the US. Like I said, this story came out. I don't know if Americans saw this. Wouldn't be a surprising headline to come out of Canada. I was a little bit more surprised to see it come out of the US that the head of US Cyber Defense Agency, the CISA in America, Madhu Gautamabumbabla, uploaded sensitive contracting documents into a public version of ChatGPT, which triggered a DHS security review. So, Madhu Gautamabumbabla, which is a strong American name, that's something that I would expect to hear out of America, uploaded these sensitive documents to public ChatGPT. There's the gentleman there, one of the lovely foreign entrepreneurs, one of the people who took advantage of Operation Caliban. The difference is America is cracking down on it a lot sooner than Canada is. And I saw this announcement. Shout out to America because I was calling out Texas. We were talking about Dallas and how they were getting smoked by Operation Caliban. And right here, we got Attorney General Ken Paxton. I'm announcing a sweeping investigation into H-1B visa abuse, starting with 3 North Texas businesses. Any criminal who attempts to scam the H-1B visa program, use ghost offices, which we covered that video. I can't remember her name, but we talked about she had the examples of it down in Texas, or other fraudulent ploys should be prepared to face the full force of the law. Yes, Ken, reach out to that creator. I cannot remember her name, but then I saw this post from Homeland Security, which I thought was very funny, but I'm actually very pro Canada doing as well. I'm even willing to up the ante. I think Canada should do, 10 times what the US is offering if these people would just leave. And they said, homesick? The DHS is offering huge incentive for illegal aliens to leave now. Receive $2,600 and a free flight home if you remigrate using the CBP Home app. Leave now, avoid the discomfort of not knowing when we're going to arrest you. And I think, obviously, we know Canada has millions of visas that are going to be expiring soon. I'm saying I'd be fine with us putting $26,000 on a big old check, hand it to them and say you're banned from coming to Canada ever again. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here. And I found this awesome video. And you wonder how both countries have devolved to a point where we have been willing to accept Operation Curry Bomb, obviously in America, it's slightly less acceptable, but you have the people there rioting in Minneapolis right now to defend illegal criminals. So you think that why is this ideology alive and well? And why is Canada accepting it, promoting it? And we don't even have to protest it because people have just said this is normal. It needs to happen. And then we've got this clip from Helen Andrews, and it matched so perfectly with a video that came out with mainstream media. And another talking point from a Canadian large fund analyst basically vindicated this clip in real time. It's so funny.
But if you want to put it in a single sentence, you could say that feminization equals wokeness. Everything you think of as wokeness is simply an epiphenomenon of demographic feminization. Think about all the things that wokeness means, valuing empathy over rationality, safety over risk, conformity and cohesion over competition and hierarchy. All of these things are privileging the feminine over the masculine. So if you have ever wondered why wokeness appeared out of nowhere when it did, that is my hypothesis, that all of the institutions that began admitting women in the 1970s eventually got enough women that they were able to reorient them. For example, women are consistently less supportive of free speech than men.
So obviously she's American. She's talking about American institutions. The Canadian guy who coincidentally said the same thing.
In surveys asking which is more important, protecting free speech or preserving an inclusive society, approximately two-thirds of men say free speech and approximately two-thirds of women say inclusive society. In moral reasoning, the traditional way of phrasing the difference between men and women is to say that women have an ethics of caring and men have an ethics of justice. In making a moral judgment, men will ask, what are the rules and what are the facts? Women tend to be more interested in context and relationships. So let's apply that to wokeness. When James Damore wrote his famous, or I should say notorious, memo for Google, arguing that female underrepresentation in the hard sciences might not be the result of bias and prejudice, no one even attempted to argue that he was wrong on the facts. The reason that he was fired was because the things he had written might make his female coworkers feel bad. Or consider the Kavanaugh hearings. The masculine position was to say that maybe something bad happened to you, but if you do not have evidence, then we can't allow you to ruin a man's life and career over it.
If you remember that Google document that went viral at the time, it was huge.
The feminine position was to say, how can you talk about rules of evidence? Can't you see she's crying?
Exactly. And that's what we talk about all the time. We have to be willing to accept being a little mean. The people are going to call you mean. They're going to say, look, they're crying, and they're going to reject the truth. They're going to reject the facts.
Now, to be clear, many women were revolted by the way the Kavanaugh hearings played out. In fact, the very best book on the Kavanaugh hearings was written by two women, Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino. But a political system in which men predominate will tend to operate according to rules of facts and objectivity, and one in which women predominate will tend to operate by the rules of emotions and subjective facts.
Let's watch this get proven correct in real time, not just by James E. Thorne, who's the chief strategist for a $45 billion fund. And he says, what has Canada become? Canada likes to boast about having one of the most educated populations on earth. But when it comes to Trump derangement syndrome, it behaves like the global capital of political hysteria. What passes for education has curled into progressive indoctrination so deep that the basic objectivity and critical thought have become niche pursuits rather than civic norms. And then he calls it out here, and this is about the trade deal. Facts, not feelings, will settle this experiment, and on current trajectory, Canada will discover that trading sovereignty for moral vanity is a very expensive way to learn about basic geopolitical arithmetic. To be clear, Carney is playing a dangerous game. Canada needs the U.S. far more than the U.S. needs Canada, and indulging in TDS as the organizing principle of foreign and industrial policy is not just embarrassing, it's dangerous. Now, speaking of dangerous, and this was amazing because this just came out. And this is a video on interviewing Canadians on the U.S. being a military threat, the U.S. attacking Canada. By the way, national news. This is the national news of Canada. If the U.S. attacks Canada, how would you respond? Would Canada win? Let's just listen to the answers and the responses and then the demographics of the first two questions. See if it relates at all to what Helen was saying.
U.S. President Donald Trump's erratic foreign policy agenda has left large swaths of our country feeling uneasy. And while many don't view military action against Canada as a realistic possibility, new Ipsos polling done exclusively for Global News shows how Canadians feel about our armed forces in the hypothetical event of a military invasion. Gregory Jack is the Senior Vice President of Ipsos Public Affairs, and he joins us now to break down the numbers. Gregory, thanks so much for joining us. Can you talk about the percentage of Canadians who have dismissed the prospect of a military invasion and the percentage who still view military action as a realistic possibility?
By the way, there is no possibility of military action of the U.S. coming and invading Canada. But as we just saw, the politicians continue to keep that rhetoric. And I didn't put a clip in today, but the leader of the NDP said that the U.S. is a legitimate military and security risk to Canada.
Yeah, good to see you, first of all. This is a question we would not have asked even a year ago. And so the fact that we were asking it now is interesting in itself. We found about half of Canadians said that they don't think that it's realistic that the U.S. would ever attack Canada. But we did find some really interesting demographic differences. We found that women were more likely to think that the U.S. was going to possibly attack. And Gen Z were more likely on the...
So women were more likely to think the U.S. was going to attack because they are not based in facts and they are based in feelings. So they think, oh no, I'm so scared. The U.S. is mean. They're more likely to think they're going to attack. Very funny.
On the flip side, it was the boomers and men who were more confident that the U.S. wouldn't be attacking. But it is about 50-50. And that's a number that I think had we asked this question even a year ago, would have been closer to 80-20 or even 90-10. In terms of those saying it was not a realistic possibility.
Okay, and if...
This next one is so funny.
That's a big if a military invasion were to occur. How do Canadians feel about our country's ability to defend itself, and how many think NATO allies could come to our defense?
Well, we find that Canadians are not super optimistic that we would be able to defend ourselves on our own. It was less than 50% who thought that. Again, it was interesting findings demographically on that. Women were more likely than men to think that we could, and Gen Z was more likely than older Canadians to think that we could.
So women, again, more likely to think that Canadians could defend themselves against the United States. So women are like, yes, the U.S. is a threat. They're going to attack us. And if they do, we could defend ourselves against the U.S. I found that so funny, basically proving in real time how we've ended up with the issues that we have that Helen was calling out. So good. And I do not care what any liberal says. I do not care what any politician says until you are willing to crack down on Operation Curry-Bomb and mass immigration, which includes Pierre. It needs to be addressed. The extortion problems, the crime, everything Canada is dealing with has a clear and obvious cause. And no, it's not America. And we try to blame them for everything else. You can't blame Donald Trump for those problems. These are things that have existed for a long time inside of Canada. We need to rebuild the U.S.-Canada relationship. So Mark Carney needs to stop his manipulation like we saw at the beginning of the video. And he needs to stop lying to Americans and Donald Trump as well, because he can't seem to be trusted on either side of the border at this point. But if you made it this far in the video, you absolutely rock. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're trying to get these videos out in front of more people. We are trying to grow the channel. If you like what we talk about here, feel free to support the channel through the link down below. You can also do it directly through YouTube. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.